No!
It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Beaverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93. That's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery. We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushion Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Thank
what
you
a great, people. Great audience out there. Yeah. They are sitting on the lawn enjoying this this last week of regular daylight, not daylight, it's Eastern Standard Time.
Standard Time.
Yes, and we were switching
also,
to daylight time.
Mm-hmm. Last week of winter? No, that's next week. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
21st winter starts, so that's next week, last week of winter.
Well, down here in Florida, we never really had a winter. I think we had like 3 or 4 days worth, and then that was it.
That
so,
was it. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it gets cold, and then it leaves. And then we're back in the 80s today. So sorry to all those in the north who, you know, have snow on the ground. We're not going to see it this year. We do not have a guest planned for tonight or scheduled to come on the show.
Sorry.
But it's really cool that we thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for featuring the show tonight. And, so if you it's going to be informative, and it's we are covering Pennsylvania, or we're going to start covering Pennsylvania. And plus, you have some other neat things to discuss. It's going to be all about wine. And Ron, as always, has the information and is going to keep us entertained and informed tonight. And it's going to be wow.
Thank you, both people. Boy, they are with it tonight, I tell you.
I just opened the window for a little bit, and then I had to close it again.
I know.
Yeah. I get complaints if I keep settling down. All right, let's get on with it. We have a show tonight, so here we go.
We also have a festival this coming weekend at Florida Estates Winery. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too.
Okay.
A good festival this weekend. We got a lot of vendors and everything, so we got a lot to talk about.
Cool.
Pennsylvania. We are going to be talking about Pennsylvania tonight. Pennsylvania is, as always, whenever we start ourselves a new state, I always like to give you a little background on it and what is there, the political map and stuff like that. The state of Pennsylvania is located in the eastern part of the United States. It is, let's see, I pulled up another map here I was going to talk about. Is that the one? Yeah. Eastern part of the United States. It is just south of New York State. It touches Lake Erie over in the corner, northwestern corner. On this due west is Ohio. Also on the western edge of the state, about a third of the state, borders on West Virginia, which goes back down to the corner of the state. Maryland touches West Virginia and continues the border to for southern Pennsylvania until we get to Delaware. And Delaware has a little corner of the map of Pennsylvania, southeast corner. And then due east is New Jersey. So it's quite a few states there. It's they don't call Pennsylvania a state, though. They call it, I think it's one of those that they actually call it a commonwealth, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The counties of Pennsylvania, a lot of them, 67 counties throughout, really small ones speckled throughout the state, some rather large ones. The city of Philadelphia has its own county, the County of Philadelphia. It is a lot of interstates running through it. 80 runs through the northern part of Pennsylvania, north central actually. I-79 is on the far western edge, which connects to I-70, and then I-70 runs all the way across the country from there. So you can catch I-70 just south of Pittsburgh and head west. On the very northwestern corner, I-90, just south of Erie and right south of the Lake Erie up there, there's a couple of major toll roads that run through Pennsylvania. 81. That's 81 is another interstate on the eastern edge, goes through Scranton, and then connects to 78, which goes through Harrisburg, which is the capital. We have 83 and I-70 and I-80 and 380 and 84 all around the eastern parts of the state and southern part of the state. One major toll road that comes out north of Philadelphia and goes all the way through the state, south of Harrisburg, north of Pittsburgh, is I-76, which is a toll road. They have quite a few toll roads, actually, smaller ones. There's a couple of them on the map here, but a couple of quite a few toll roads throughout the state of Pennsylvania. The relief map, lot of rivers and the lakes and stuff throughout Pennsylvania. The biggest one is, Delaware River runs all, forms the eastern border of Pennsylvania. Then you've got quite a few others that run down to the state, start in the state and run on out to the state. There's a couple of them that drain to the north up toward Lake Erie and into the Great Lakes. So it's divided. There is a higher altitude, a sort of a mountain range, if you will, across the west central part of the state. The highest point in Pennsylvania is 3,213 feet. They go from sea level, which is the Delaware River, lowest point Delaware River, which is at sea level, and then on up to 3,213 feet. So it is the hills, the mountains, we call them mountains. We're in Florida. We call everything that's higher than 300 feet a mountain because that is our highest point in Florida. They have a lot of wineries in Pennsylvania. We're looking at probably 130 wineries, 135 wineries throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Quite a few spread out. The wine industry in Pennsylvania is really quite large compared to a lot of other states, considering the size of the state of Pennsylvania itself. Pennsylvania right now is the eighth largest wine-producing state in the country, and this is the latest results I have here, and this is just about a year old on that stat. So it is it does produce quite a bit. It's a very mild climate compared to some of the surrounding states because of the influence of Lake Erie and of the Atlantic Ocean. The state of Pennsylvania is does have some elevation on it, but the influence of the two major bodies of water does keep the climate in a mild setting, except, you know, in the winter, of course, you have your snows and stuff. But as far as summer goes, it does really keep it into some pleasant temperature fluctuations there. They have, the state of Pennsylvania has 5 AVAs, that's American Viticulture Areas. The first one, the Central Delaware Valley AVA, and this is located in southeastern Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It is approximately 96,000 acres or 38,850 acres. It is surrounded by Delaware River north of Pennsylvania or north of Philadelphia, and its southern boundary is near Titusville, New Jersey, just north of Trenton. The northern border is the Musconetgong, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, mountain. It produces Vitis vinifera, the ones that we're so used to. Also, Vitis labrusca grape varieties are grown there. For those of you who didn't catch the program on Vitis labrusca, it's the fox grape, basically, is what it's termed as. It is a native grape in the eastern United States and the source of many of the grapes that we know now, including the Concord grape, which is the most common one. I'm going to some of the other grapes that they have, but the Concord grape is the one that most people know of, and it's a native family, native grape. Pennsylvania grows a lot of the Concord grape. It's Welch's grape comes out of Pennsylvania, Welch's jellies and stuff, and they use a lot of the Concord grape. Cumberland Valley AVA is another AVA that is located in Pennsylvania. It is located in Washington County in west central Maryland and Franklin and Cumberland counties in south central Pennsylvania. Again, sharing some land with another state on this AVA. This is only 100 acres, or about 40 hectares, included in the Y Appellation. And these, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Only about 100 acres of the 765,000 acres in this wine appellation are planted to grapevines, predominantly because of the terraced areas and the areas over the Potomac River and the slopes of the South Mountain. The soil is very alkaline limestone, and that AVA was established. This AVA was established in 1985, and then amended in 1987. But a rather large, 765,000 acres. But it does go over mountains and stuff, so it includes everything within that area because of the mountains. But only 100 acres are planted in that. The Central Delaware AVA, I didn't mention when that was established. That was established in 1984 and amended in 1987. The next AVA that is in Pennsylvania is the Lake Erie AVA. And the Lake Erie AVA, as you would suspect, is located in on the shores in the northwestern part of the state up by Lake Erie. It is the land of the south shore of Lake Erie, which includes Ohio, New York, and Pennsylvania. And grapevines planted in this area are predominantly the Concord varietal. A lot of this area here is controlled and are planted from Welch's. Welch's has a tremendous amount of grapevines up in that area. And this AVA, the Lake Erie AVA, really does fall under the Welch's AVA, which seems odd, but I don't know. For some reason, to me, it seems odd. I'm sure it isn't. This area is first cultivated in the early 19th century and survived the prohibition by selling grapes to homemakers or actually illegally selling them to consumers in Canada. This is for the whole area along Lake Erie here. The wine industry in the Lake Erie region didn't do well after prohibition, although by late 1960s, around 67, there were fewer than 20 wineries in the area. Recently, they've started to open up more and more wineries and plant a lot more grapes in the Vitis vinifera family. These are the ones you may be so used to, the Cab Merlots and all that. We've talked about that before. This area is a rather large AVA. It was established in 1983, and it is really quite enormous. It's 2,236,800 acres with 42,000 acres planted in grapes. So a lot of grapes planted in this area out of a large area. That's 905,200 hectares. In this area, too, a tremendous amount of variety of grapes. It's because it is such a large area, you can imagine the subclimate. You can plant just about everything and anything in the region. But an enormous area, again, planted a lot in Concord grape, but they do plant just about everything in that area. Another AVA for Pennsylvania, Lancaster Valley AVA. And this is one of the fully contained within the state of Pennsylvania AVAs. I believe the next one is also. The Lancaster Valley AVA is located in Lancaster and Chester counties. And I don't think they say Lancaster. I think they say Lancaster and Chester counties in southeastern Pennsylvania around the city of Lancaster. The wine regions includes approximately 225,000 acres in a valley, the Lancaster Valley, which is about 30 miles long and 12 miles wide. There's only about 400 acres that are planted to grapevines, though, in this area. It's one of the most fertile regions in the state of Pennsylvania, which it competes with other crops and other things in that area. I believe this is where a lot of the Amish farms are in around Lancaster. I'm almost positive of that. But this is established 1984. The grapes that they produce there, Cabernet Franc, Catawba, Cuyahoga, Chambord, Chancellor, Deschenac, Merlot, Niagara. You hear a lot of both types, Labrusca and Vitis Labrusca and Vitis vinifera. Grapes are grown there. A number of wineries as of 2009 were 10, and I think they've expanded more since then. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that some of the stuff I read, there's more than 10 in the area. But all, again, contained within the state of Pennsylvania, as is this next one, this last one here, which is Lehigh Valley AVA. Lehigh Valley AVA is located in the Valley of Lehigh in Pennsylvania. It includes portions of Lehigh, Northampton, Berks, Schuylkill, Carbon, and Monroe counties. It's a watershed of the Broadhead Creek. The wine region includes approximately 230 acres of vineyards planted mostly to Vitis vinifera and some French American hybrids. The climate in this area is rather unique compared to the central or northern European regions, favoring the French American hybrids. So this is why this area of the AVA was established in 2008. A rather small area, though, but with only 230 acres. One of the most popular grapes in this region is the Chambord. 15 to 20% of the wine produced in Pennsylvania is made from grapes grown in the Lehigh Valley AVA. So that's really quite a bit to say because of the size of the AVA and how much grape is produced in it. Have that much being taken out of just this one little area here. There are a lot of wine trails in this AVA too. A couple of them here. Lehigh Valley Wine Trail and the Berks Wine Trail, which includes 8-9 wineries in each of the two wine trails. Those are the five AVAs out of Pennsylvania. I was going to talk tonight about southwestern Pennsylvania. I sent out emails to some wineries and tried to get a hold of some people there. And in fact, I called a couple and no one was available. More than a couple, actually. I called about six, seven of them. Nobody was available this evening. I was looking at the area south of 80 and east of 70 down in the southeastern, or west, I'm sorry, south of 80 and west of 70 down in the southeastern corner of the state. Quite a few different wineries in that area, by the way. There was some really nice wineries I saw on the websites and stuff. In fact, I'll tell you about them in a few minutes here. State of Pennsylvania is controlled by the Liquor Control Board. They're the ones that sell the stuff. They're the ones that sell the alcohol. It's not being completely and totally aware, and I tried to look it up, and I looked around, and I couldn't really understand how it works. I know that the liquors and stuff like that and beers and stuff that come from other places are sold through the LCB. That's what they call it, the PLCB, Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Wines out of the wineries, though, I believe you can sell it there. I'm not sure of the rules and regulations. FreeTheGrapes.org has constantly been coming up with things about rules trying to be changed and laws trying to be changed in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania obviously is stuck with the PLCB. So they've been trying to do something about that. Again, I don't know. If someone from Pennsylvania is listening, give us a call. I'll be more than happy to take your call and talk to you about the Liquor Control Board. If you'd like to call us, that number is 1-646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. We are live right now. This is Thursday night. November the 7th, November, where did I get that? March the 7th, or March the 8th, rather. See, I even got the date and the month wrong. This is March the 8th, and what's that? If you're listening live and you're from Pennsylvania, give me a call. Let me know how this PLCB works. That's the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Their website is really rather involved, really quite interesting and really rather involved. They have all sorts of information on there, all sorts of things. They even have a tip line on there, and the tip line is a fraud and abuse tip line. So the tip line is for issues dealing with the Liquor Control Board store offices or stores only. If you are having a problem with a store or something, you can always call in. This is not for bars or taverns or anything else. This is just for the for a problem with the Liquor Control Board. Oops, I just lost the Liquor Control Board here. Let me find it again. What did I do with it? Oh, no. I'm going to have to find it again here. I lost it. PLCB. Let's see if it gives me what I want on the... Excuse me. Yes, it does. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board handles all the liquor sales, I think, except for wine, and it probably does handle wine if it comes from out of state. If you're a winery in the state of Pennsylvania, you don't have to go through them, but out of state, you do. There is an interesting little chart here on the PLCB site, and this is about alcohol impairment, how much it takes for you to fall under the legal limit. Is that beeping coming from you, Mike, or is it coming from this site?
No, I'm not.
Okay, it must be from this site. Alcohol impairment chart. Since we are all about wine, I won't, you know, it's 1.5 ounces of 80 proof liquor, a 12 ounce beer, or a 5 ounce glass of wine. They say table wine, so I guess any wine that equals one drink. So a 5 ounce glass of wine. It says it takes approximately an hour to rid yourself of one drink. Women, it says, with a body weight of 120 pounds, having one drink could put you at risk for possible criminal penalties. That jumps your alcohol blood level up to 0.04. The second drink puts you over the legal limit at 0.08. That's wine. That's according to this chart here. That's the female. If you have yourself 10 drinks in... if you weigh 120 pounds, your alcohol blood level is going to jump up to 0.38. So don't be getting behind the wheel of a car. Okay. Mm-hmm. Major impairment of your judgment here. But the chart's interesting. If you want to see how you are in your chart, it's PLCB, and then look underneath alcohol and the law, and it gives you the charts for both male and female. Now, excuse me. As far as male goes, a 180-pound male, two drinks is going to put you up to 0.04, three drinks 0.06, and four drinks 0.08, which is over the legal limit. That's 180-pound. Excuse me. 180-pound male. So, interesting chart. If you're curious, you want to know, again, go to PLCB, search engine PLCB, it'll pop up, and go to Alcohol and the Law. I just thought that was interesting, considering we're talking about wine all the time, how little it does take to affect you when you're driving. We normally don't talk too much about alcohol and driving. We assume that all of you are mature, responsible adults out there who will do the right thing, which we hope so anyway. The Pennsylvania also has a very interesting site. Pennsylvania Wines is about wine trails. Pennsylvania Wine Trails. The site, if you would like to check it out, is PennsylvaniaWine.com. And then it's tells about all sorts of trails, what they are, how wine trail passports, which is I thought was very interesting. Some of the wine trails offer passports, which grants the holder access to special events or other privileges, such as discounts on products, wine tastings, and hotel packages. Though the passports may cost a small fee up front, the rewards are well worth the initial investment. So if you're traveling to Pennsylvania, check out the wine trail passports, see if they have ones in the area you're going to. The wine trail experience gives you more than just one wine. One winery to visit. It gives you, ties them all in together and gives you a chance to experience all of them in that area. Quickly going through some of these wine trails, the Berks County Wine Trail is located in Reading, around Reading, between Harrisburg and Philadelphia. The Brandywine Valley Wine Trail. These are wineries located southwest of Philadelphia, near the Maryland-Delaware border in Chester County. They have a passport available, passport events. The Bucks County Wine Trail, wineries just north of Philadelphia. Excuse me again. Let me take a drink of wine. That's probably going to help me. Excuse me for my delay there. Bucks County Wine Trail, wineries north of Philadelphia near the New Jersey border. Endless Mountains Wine Trail. These are wineries in northeastern Pennsylvania. The Groundhog Wine Trail. These are wineries dotted throughout central Pennsylvania. Lake Erie Wine Trail. Excuse me. Boy, I was doing some mowing of the lawn today, and the dust drove me nuts. Wineries along Lake Erie near the New York borders, the Lake Erie Wine Trail. Lehigh Valley Wine Trail, again, this is an AVA. These are wineries outside Allentown, which is about an hour's drive about an hour's drive within New Jersey. And this also has passports available, passport events. The Mason-Dixon Wine Trail, and this is always something that fascinated me. I always thought Mason-Dixon, the Mason-Dixon line, was always further south, but it actually it's way up, quite a ways north. Just, you know, bit of surprise for me. Wineries located south of Harrisburg to near the Maryland border is the Mason-Dixon Wine Trail. Passports also available for this wine trail. Montgomery County Wine Trail are wineries in eastern Pennsylvania, just north of the King of Prussia, and which is just north of Philadelphia, northwest of Philadelphia. Southwest Passage Wine Trail. These are wineries in southwestern Pennsylvania, south of Pittsburgh. And these are the area I was going to cover tonight, which no one was available to join us. And then the Susquehanna Heartland Wine Trail. These are wineries in central Pennsylvania's capital region, north of Harrisburg, and also passport events are available for this. So Philadelphia has quite a few. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 wine trails throughout the state. More information, much more detailed information, everything, is available on the site PennsylvaniaWine.com and then Traveling a Wine Trail. But PennsylvaniaWine.com will give you a whole bunch of information to talk about the events, resources, news, visiting wineries, and planning your trip, and all sorts of stuff. Very, very comprehensive, very interesting site for the wine trails. And I'm sure as we are spending more time in Pennsylvania, we will be talking more about the wine trails and as we talk to different people what they have to say about the wine trails. Let's see, I'm looking at my notes here and different things like this and trying to sort my way through this and see what I've got. And I don't need that. And that one is done. All right. Pennsylvania wineries. Now, again, I keep talking about the fact that I was going to go to southern Pennsylvania tonight. We were going to talk about southwestern Pennsylvania. And I had a chance to talk to a couple of people shortly. They were busy, which is good for them. I think it's great. Some of the wineries I contacted and some of them in that area I like to look at is and just talk a little bit. There's one in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is its main home, and this is Arsenal Cider House. Arsenal Cider House is located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it's a cider house and a wine cellar. They make hard apple cider, mead, and wine coolers. They state their mission is to bring high-quality, small-batch, artisan-crafted adult beverages in a historic and nostalgic atmosphere. Wait a minute. There we go. excuse me. They are basically right in a Pennsylvania itself. They have a Facebook page, their website. Basically, you can click on their Facebook page, and that's about it. They have a lot of followers. Good for them. The Arsenal Cider House is a Civil War thematic winery located in Lawrenceville, Pennsylvania. Actually, it wasn't Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is across the river. Lawrenceville, Pennsylvania. They make handcrafted hard apple cider, cider-style fruit grape wines, and mead. And they are located across from the historic Allegheny Arsenal. So interesting site, interesting place. I tried to call them, couldn't get an answer there on these people. They should be open, though. The show said they're open until 8 o'clock, and I didn't get an answer. So maybe they were busy. Let's hope so. The excuse me, there I go again. Wow. Another one I excuse me. Another one I got a I called, got a hold of was Christian Clay. Christian W. Clay Winery in Chalk Hill, Pennsylvania. This is down in the south part, just north of the Maryland West Virginia border, not off of any main road or anything. Chalk Hill, Pennsylvania. They open 7 days a week, 11 till 6, or 11 till 7 on Friday and Saturday. They have, let's see, the winery, the wine cellar. It says the winery home is an 1880s restored bank barn with situated at the base of rolling foothills of Fayette Springs Farm. On the lower level, the winery guests can sample the wines, the award-winning wines. Let me give them credit. And the retail area is located upstairs. Outdoor deck connects to the pavilion that is wired for sound. And they have pavilion music series, a great way to spend a lazy summer afternoon in the mountains, they advertise. They are have the winery's upper levels offer the ideal venue and magical atmosphere for wedding receptions, reunions, birthdays, and all that good stuff. They have them all wrapped in lights and everything, so making it ready for the for private functions and all that good stuff. The wines that they make are award-winning wines. The original collection of wines from the award-winning collections were named in honor of historic sites situated along America's first turnpike, the National Road, which is in Pennsylvania. Historically, this road was no more than an Indian trail through the wilderness. By 1802, the need for safe passage from east to west compelled the U.S. Congress to fund the building of the National Road. It began in Cumberland, Maryland, and ultimately reached Vandalia, Illinois, and it went right through this area here. Their wines include a Blanc de Foyette, a Fort Necessity, which is a dry, both dry whites, semi-dry whites, include the Washington Tavern White, the Nemacolin Castle. Their semi-sweet wines are the White Swan Tavern, the Fayette Springs White. Again, remind you, these are all from that region, historic region. Catawba, Chestnut Ridge Sunset, Stonehouse Red, Raspberry Frost, Spiced Apple, Damson Plum. That spiced apple sounds good. I wish I could find some more information on it. Maybe I can. Semi-dry red is the Washington Tavern Red. A dry red is Jumonville Glen Red. And they also make sparkling wines, the 12 Springs Peach, a Summit Mist Indigo, which is made with blueberries, and a Cranberry Crinkle. The Washington Tavern Red, let's see what it says here. Oh, here we go. This fruity, medium-bodied, semi-dry red goes especially well with pasta dishes, veal, venison. It doesn't tell me the grapes, though. This is what I was curious. I guess they're not going to list the grapes in all these. Raspberry Frost, what does that say? No, it just tells a little bit about the wine, but not how it's put together. Full raspberry flavor that complements Asian food. Semi-sweet. So, Christian W. Clay with a K winery. Christian W. Clay Winery, located at cwclaywinery.com. So that's cwklaywinery.com in southwestern Pennsylvania. Evergreen Valley Vineyards. I tried to call them, and the girl that answered was busy, and she said, "Oh, we don't have any money available right now. Can you call me back later?" And then I tried to call back later, and there was no answer. So they're located in Luthersburg, Pennsylvania, and Luthersburg, Pennsylvania is located northeast of Pittsburgh, just south of 80, northwest of Altoona. So that gives you an idea of where it is. Winery itself is, it says, the taste of Europe in the heart of Pennsylvania. It's right in the center of Amish, however you want to pronounce it, country. It has a very unique microclimate. What they're talking about on this here is their microclimate. Quite a bit of the stuff on it. So the microclimate is, I'm sure Pennsylvania is full of microclimates. We're going to have to get people on the phone and start telling us about that stuff. Because Pennsylvania has, I'm sure, a lot of microclimates because of the hills and the valleys and all that stuff. But Evergreen Valley is, let's see, the wine list. This is what I want here. Evergreen Valley has quite a few wine, not as many as I thought. They also number their wines from dry to sweet, dry being a 0 to 2 being sweet. They have a Sauval Blanc, which is obviously a white wine, a dry style. Marshall Foch, a dry red. A Bacchanal Noir, which is also a dry red. A Cuyahoga White, which is a Labrusca family. Catawba White, both of those are labeled as one. Blush Concord, and a Delaware. They do have a couple of sweet reds, the Fredonia and the Concord, which they, the classic Concord grapes that they make a wine from. Limited to ship to other states, but they can ship within the state of Pennsylvania. I wish I knew more about their state store. I tried to find, I looked and looked and looked and couldn't find much information about their state store. But we'll have to follow up and find out what more we can about their state store and when we talk to other people. Another winery I called, and this one I talked to the guy that was the tasting guy for about 15 minutes, and he was a pleasant young man. I'm sorry, I didn't write down his name. This is Oak Spring Winery, and he said, just follow my website. He said, jump on the website. He said, we got a lot of information on there. And so when I got off the phone, I went to his website, and it wasn't on the server. And I looked three or four different places, and I couldn't find too much on there. I couldn't find anything about Oak Spring Winery. They're located in Altoona. They make a lot of the Concord and, well, the Labrusca family of grapes. But it was, we talked about generic stuff more than anything. He said, I need to talk to the owner, and I asked if he was in. He said, no. And I said, oh. I said, you have a few minutes. And so we talked, and he talked about, you know, how long he's worked there, which is a couple of years, and how much fun it's been and how he's learned so much and everything. But he said, oh, our website tells you all about the wines and everything. And I said, okay. And so, and then no website. So I don't know. One other one I called, and I just quickly talked to him, was the Walnut Hill Winery. And let me back up here real fast and get to Walnut Hill. Walnut Hill Winery is Wait a minute. My mouse stopped working there for a second. Walnut Hill Winery is located in Blairsville, and they have a variety of wines, a Vidal Blanc, a Chardonnay, a spiced apple, a Niagara, a Sunset Rosé, a Blairsville Blush, a couple of blush wines, a tomato wine, they say great for cooking, Thunder Road Red, a Concord, Ridgeview Red, and La Dolce Vita, which is a chocolate cherry wine. The Walnut Hill, I had customers from Pennsylvania come and visit me a couple of weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, and they came in and they said, you need to get a hold of this winery. They make a great chocolate wine, a chocolate cherry wine. And I said, oh, okay. And so I called them and got to speak to them for just a couple minutes, not really as long as I'd like to at all. And they said that, you know, they got my email and they said they were really busy this week, you know, get a hold of them next week. And so we may be able to get them on in the future dates. But this is just outside of Blairsville. It is the owner, Sam Christman, lives at the winery, and the lower half of it is the winery, is a tasting room. The upper half is his home, his residence. They've started the winery in 2007, and it's been growing a little bit every year, they say. It's a small family-operated winery with a nice setting, a nice area in Blairsville. They've got a nice, on your website, they've got a nice gallery showing all the stuff around there, and the little house with the taste room underneath, and the yard outside and all that, where they can have events and some of the stuff that goes on there. So I'm going to try to get them again. I'm going to try to get a hold of them again, simply to try to talk to them more about their chocolate cherry wine, simply because the customers that were in highly, highly recommended. They said it was a great wine, and they thought it was one of the best tasting wines they've had in a long time. And I said, ooh, I've had chocolate wine. They said, no, this is nothing like what you buy now. And they said, this is just, he does a real good job of putting this together. So we'll see if we can't get a hold of them later. But I'm gonna quit talking about Pennsylvania here. We gave you some background. We've talked about some of the wineries and all that. We'll try to get a hold of the Walnut Hill again and try to get them on so they can talk about the wines and all that. Little family. One thing I noticed about Pennsylvania wineries, it's a lot of them are very small, family-owned things. Very, you know, just spring up and pop up here and there. We find this actually a lot around the country, but Pennsylvania just seems to have a lot. People just open up a little winery somewhere and put stuff in the ground, because so many of the different types of grapes will grow in the state of Pennsylvania. You can have the Labrusca grapes, you can have the vinifera grapes, you have the French American hybrid, all sorts of stuff. And because it's so easy to grow so many different things, it's easy. And fruits and vegetables are fruits and vegetables, obviously vegetables, but fruit wines too. There's quite a few wineries that do fruit wines in Pennsylvania. So we're going to be in Pennsylvania for probably another 3-4 weeks, maybe longer, if people start responding. We'll be talking to them and finding out actually about the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board and about the areas and the microclimates and all that stuff. But I'm going to turn this over to Mike for a minute here and let him talk a little bit about the festival at Florida State's Winery this weekend.
Yes, thank you very much. Wow, that's a lot of information on
in the, was it 45 minutes now, roughly?
Yeah.
So 40 minutes, yeah, a lot of good information there. Yeah, this weekend, Saturday, February. You're on November, I'm in February. It's all because the time changed this weekend.
That's right. It's already affecting us.
That's right. I'm preparing now. March the 10th, this weekend, Saturday, March the 10th, come out and enjoy Winefest at Florida State's Winery, and featuring the music of Sam Osborne this weekend. He's got some great sounds, excellent performances there. You can also have a glass of wine, relax, and enjoy the music while you're there. There's going to be a lot of vendors on hand here, and I have somewhere, I do have a the listing here, but you got quite a bit here. Let's see, you have 19 vendors. Wow.
Yes, we've had others respond to us. So we've got,
that's fantastic.
The letter went out. We've got 19 vendors.
That's fantastic. Let me run the I'll run the clip here real quick, and I'll be back and see if I can pick a couple out of the long list here and let you know who's going to be there. So Winefest this Saturday, and here are the details coming up right about now.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Definitely need to redo one of those. To me, I don't know, my headset, maybe because I got those high value whatever headsets, it sounds basic, but
it probably sounds like
but the big difference, I gotta upgrade that and do another one. I can't remember when I did that one, but it's time. So you have Sam Osborne providing the music and 19 vendors. You have Colleen is joining you this week. She recycles unbroken wine bottles into lights and broken and tumbled bottles into jewelry. That's interesting. Anna with Artsy Anna's, bringing fine silver jewelry and earrings, bracelets, turquoise, pearls, and other gemstones is going to be there. Also supplies and polishing cloths and all kinds of cool stuff. Carol and Ed, wine and happy hour house and garden flags. That's interesting. Fashion jewelry. Let's see. Amy with 11th Hour Designs is going to be there with unique jewelry pieces, glass beads, shells, beach glass, that kind of stuff. Knitwit hookers and spinsters. That's interesting. Sewing, knitting, crocheting. Let's see. What else? Do they do here? Knitting, yeah. Oh, wow. DB is a local knit and crochet instructor. That's interesting. Let's see. Lisa, the founder of Raffle Rescue. Oh, that's, let's see. Didn't you have the...
yes, the tip jar last month.
The tip jar, that's right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, very cool. They're going to be there with pet gift baskets. Bring a donation of pet food and get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. Ooh, isn't that cool?
Yeah, bring a dry food bag, you know, a few cans, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Let's see. Dave is going to return with his handcrafted artisan writing instruments. Fun Jewelry is returning with crystals, amber. I have no idea how to pronounce that. Next one, natural stones and glass slides that is put in on ribbons. Also bracelets and earrings. Very, very cool stuff. Louise with Scentsy is going to be there. The Authentic Wickless Candle Company. Very cool. Nikki, That's easy. Her business name is Sweets, with an exclamation mark after it. And she features, cupcakes, cake pops, biscotti, fudge, magic cookie bars. Oh, wow. What time is this? You start mentioning cupcakes and cookies and stuff. That's, you know, that and wine. You're talking my language there. Let's see. Kathy is presenting home and beautiful products, handcrafted hardwood maple baskets. Let's see. Number one nationally used dinnerware. Wow, quite a bit there. Let's see. Rosemary brings Quiet Hearts cards and My Song journals this week. Organo Gold, the healthy coffee. That's interesting. Organo Gold coffee, packed with the goodness
good
of
100%. Good coffee.
Wow.
She has a little
sample
for you too, if you want to come in and try it.
Oh, that'd be cool. Let's see. Janet's going to have 100% olive oil, soaps, lotions, bar butters, handcrafted. See, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, everything you can think of. Terry, let's see, necklace, earrings, sets, bracelets, anklets. Deb's soy candles, cards, and more will be there. Check out, let's see, Deb's there. Let's see, Mitch is back with The Last Stand. Oh, is that okay, barbecue
That's
pork
food.
Sandwiches. Oh, you know, You got a great day there.
Yes, yeah, he's very good too. That food's very good. Yeah.
Let's see. Deborah will be on hand with strawberry shortcake. Let's see. Representatives from the Renaissance Festival will be roaming around with discounts. Man, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like wow, that's fantastic. So come on out. Let's see. It's 11 to. Make sure I get this right. I don't want to send somebody out there. 9 a.m., 9 p.m. Come on out to the Wine Fest this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, and I'll give you the complete address and location and everything after, as I always do at the show. So whatever the show
and
is. But
you can participate in the wine tasting and then buy yourself a glass of wine and shop while you're drinking wine.
Yeah, very cool. And last month it says here at the top, the tip jar – for Raffle Rescue got $198.76 going to Rescue. That is fantastic. That's so wonderful from the visitors and everybody who have helped out there. And this month, the tip jar is going for abused and battered women and children of Pasco County. And, like you put on here, there's no explanation is needed. Just stop by the winery and definitely put something in the tip jar for the cause, and it's great for abused and battered women and children of Pasco County. So stop by there. And wow.
So it's going to be a good Saturday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the weather's supposed to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, if you're too tired of the cold weather and snow and everything, this is the time to come to visit Florida, as a lot of people do, but it's great. So. Plenty of parking and pet friendly, kid friendly, and just come on out and have a great time at the Wine Fest in Florida State's Winery. So, but I'll give you location details coming up at the end of the show.
Which is right now.
Oh, okay.
Because I have nothing more to say.
Oh, well, there you go.
We sign up for the newsletter. And there's all sorts of stuff in there for the winery and for the All About Wine.
Yeah, there's information on there. Definitely do that. Let's see, where was there was something I was looking up. It is not yet. Let me take this sheet off of here. Okay. All right, then. I guess we will close the show for tonight. And Ron, thank you, of course. I mean, this has been where's my thing here? Nope, not that one.
Not that one.
I moved it. Oh, there it is.
There you go. Thank you, Buster. They're getting a little weak, you can tell.
Yeah. They brought the drums instead of... Oh, is that our cue? No. Visit... the winery is open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. And you can also do a wine tasting at the Wine Fest. So, and it's a great presentation. You're going to love it. You'll meet show host Ron from right here from All About Wine. He does this, puts this on there during the Wine Fest, and they're almost every day, right?
Right. So, yeah. Almost every day. Yeah.
it's really a treat to do the wine tasting, and it's great. It's a great presentation and everything, and you learn quite a bit, and it's very entertaining. And you get to sample the wines. It's fantastic. Winery's open daily, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., except major holidays, which there's only a few. Most major credit cards are accepted. Picnics are welcome, so there's a good idea there. You can also visit the tasting room, browse in the wine and gift store, or just relax and enjoy the winery setting under the large shady canopy of oak trees. It's fantastic. Location, as I very deeply based said earlier, is 25241 State Road 52. That is considered in Land O'Lakes, Florida, probably on the fringe of Land O'Lakes, Florida. And that is off of Interstate 75, exit 285, and go west about 4 miles. So very easy to get to, lots of parking, big turnaround area, everything is great. You can also get there from US 41, Suncoast Parkway, and US 19. Just go east on State Road 52. Before you get to I-75, you'll see the signs there for the winery, and you'll go north just a little ways. You can also phone the Florida States Winery at 813-996-2113. That is a direct number, 813-996-2113. That is a toll-free call if you're in the 813 area code. And you can email them again. It is corp, C-O-R-P, at Flewn, F-L-E-W-N, .com. Visit the website for more information, location, details, and everything at FloridaEstatesWines.com. Okay, FloridaEstatesWines.com. If you are on Facebook, definitely I don't have your URL for the winery. I do have the All About Wine show, but I believe there's a link in there. You can be sure, you know, if you're on Facebook and you log in, like the show on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. That's one word, no spaces, no dashes. All About Wine BTR on Facebook. That's the page. And also now on Twitter.com at the same address. So you go to Twitter.com/AllAboutWineBTR. And make sure if you have an account on there that you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Really appreciate that. And see you Saturday at Winefest, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. Love to have you down there. So we will see you next Thursday for – we'll continue on Pennsylvania.
We'll continue in Pennsylvania.
Maybe we can wake some people up over there. And I mean, we're on the same coast, so it's not like –
I know.
It's not like when we were on the – in doing Alaska's or the Californias when they were on completely different time zones. Right? Or Oregon. Remember Oregon? Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So
it's 7 p.m. here.
Yeah. So let's see. It's 3:50.
Yeah. It's 3:57 there. So, there's no time conversion now. So, we're on the same coast, although it is kind of late and, you know, but you did find that one that was open. So that
was
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that late, that's interesting. So we'll continue with Pennsylvania next week, and if you're listening to us on archives, we appreciate it. If you're listening to us live, we appreciate that as well. And, hopefully you can catch a live show and call us next time. We didn't have any callers tonight, but maybe we'll try again next time. Always great to have people calling in live during the show, and we'll just talk about wine on All About Wine. That's what it's all about.
If you have any suggestions for subject or anything you'd like to talk about, post it on the Facebook page or email me at allaboutwine101. allaboutwine101@gmail.com just call us in during the program if you have a suggestion for a subject or something you want to talk about. We'll be more than happy to accommodate you.
Yeah, and if you're radio shy, I mean, we don't pull you right in there. We have a little screening room. I'll talk to you first and find out what you're wanting to talk about. If you don't want to go on the air, then fine. I'll just let Ron know that we had a caller and there's the subject, you know, and we'll go from there. So you're not being pushed to get on the air with us, but some people get frightened when it happens. It's not a big deal.
It does.
But, yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go on air, but I'd like to talk about this. Just let us know. We would like to hear from you. So,
like Mike and I, we started out frightened, and then look at us now.
Yes, yes. That's right. Well, I still am, but that's a,
yeah. I am a little bit. I'm getting over it too.
All right. We will thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all next Thursday, which would be March, or in his case, in Ron's case, November, November 15th.
Yeah, yeah, really.
March 15th.
March
will 15th, be,
yeah.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here. Eastern Daylight Time.
Eastern Daylight.
Wow, I keep forgetting. Eastern Daylight Time next week.
Set your clocks ahead this Sunday morning, too.
Sunday, right. 2 a.m. I want everybody to get up and set your clocks.
Set your clocks ahead 1 hour, yeah.
Yes. Springboard.
Springboard.
All right. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you for listening. Thank you. Good night.